2022 was a big year for leaving parties in London's Downing Street. Two prime ministers left number 10 and three chancellors were sent packing from number 11. Here's how some of the political drama unfolded.
It is clearly now the will of the Parliamentary Conservative Party that there should be a new leader of that party and therefore a new prime minister.
I give notice that Liz Truss is elected as the leader of the Conservative and Unionist Party.
She's got the skin of a rhinoceros when it comes to putting up with people having to go at her, I can assure you.
Mr. Speaker, I am a fighter and not a quitter.
In a sign of just how tenuous her standing was, and perhaps how brutal UK politics can be, a British newspaper began tracking ahead of lettuce to see if the embattled Truss would last longer than the produce, and it did.
Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat?
I cannot deliver the mandate on which I was elected by the Conservative Party. I am resigning.
Another one bites the dust.
Tonight at 6, we're live in Downing Street, where Rishi Sunak has become Prime Minister, the UK's third in 7 weeks.
And as we speak, Rishi Sunak is still Prime Minister. Joining us this morning on RN Breakfast to look back at one of the most dramatic, turbulent times in Britain's political history, we have Jill Rutter, a senior fellow at the Institute for Government. Jill, welcome back.
Good morning.
And Nick Tyrone is an author and journalist who writes regularly for The Spectator. He's also a policy specialist who's worked with several leading UK think tanks. Nick, welcome.
Glad to be with you.
Now, as it's evening in the UK, we've asked you to sit down with a glass of mulled wine and to try to sum up the year in politics, British politics, in just a word. Nick, what's that word?
Insane.
That's seems apt. I think we could fact check that. Jill, how about you?
Well, my word, but I'm not sure it's really a word. My word is convulsive because it's sort of like a sort of patient thrashing around and having convulsions all year.
Yeah, it's been fascinating to watch, even from this distance. Nick, at the beginning of the year, Boris Johnson was dealing with a fallout from reports that a number of boozy parties had been held in Downing Street and they were to be formally investigated, of course, during lockdowns when people were suffering immensely. Despite all the turmoil, Boris looked invincible. Were you surprised by the speed of his fall?
Sort of yes and no. I had always thought that when the end came for Boris, it would come very quickly. But if you go back to the summer of 2021, he did indeed look totally invincible. And it looked like he was going to be there for a while, whatever your personal feelings about him. It looked like he was just going to be there for a while. And it was amazing how much the sort of the scandals that that he was caught up in just made it his whole premiership completely unravel. It happened at quite extraordinary speed. And I will admit that that did shock me.
Yeah, well, when it starts snowballing, it really happens, doesn't it? Jill, do you think Boris Johnson failed to grasp the seriousness of the situation that he was in and not appreciate how hostile the public were to the news that people working in Downing Street were partying while the UK was in lockdown and people were dying?
I think the problem with Boris Johnson is Boris Johnson just sort of really believes his own myth and just couldn't get that people might desert him. I mean, it really all started to go wrong for Boris Johnson when he marched the party up a hill to defend his mate, Owen Paterson, just over a year ago, and then was forced to reverse on that. And I think he just thought, you know, I'm a winner. They won't ever really get rid of me. They might be machinating, but it doesn't really matter. But he was finally undone by the fact that, you know, frankly, his ministers just got sick of having to go out, defend lies from Downing Street, be marched uphill and up, and be made to look utter muppets. And it took them quite a long time to get there. plus the electoral sheen came off. The Conservatives had some really quite bad by-election losses during the year. So the one selling point of Boris Johnson, that he was an election winner, started to dull a bit. And I think it was that combination that really did for him.
Yeah, that's always in my experience the magic moment when they think they can't win under you, that all of a sudden people are willing to take action. Now, Boris Johnson announced that he would stand down as PM in July, and it took 2 months for the selection and election process to appoint Liz Truss as Prime Minister. Nick, just describe the strategy that Liz Truss and her Chancellor brought to government. They were pushing policies to boost growth, to try and revive a sluggish economy hit by Brexit. But they were warned about some of this, yet they still pushed ahead. What was happening?
Well, it was very ideological. Both of them were authors of a book called Britannia Unchained, which came out in 2012, which was very much a sort of libertarian kind of Bible, if you will, an outlook that the Conservative Party should basically move in this very libertarian kind of direction. And what happened with Liz, I mean, in a sense, the biggest thing you can look at with the Liz Truss Kwarteng experiment was, and they sort of prefaced this as being what they were after, which is sort of like, this is real Brexit. So this is going to be, you know, Brexit hasn't really happened yet. It hasn't really, we've left the EU, but we haven't really, you know, taken advantage of what we can do outside of the EU. And they did this thing that was a total disaster. The incredible thing is just how quickly the disaster showed itself as being a complete disaster, to the point that they had to get rid of her, literal weeks into her premiership, which is incredible.
Yeah, I think we're still trying to get our heads around just the speed of that. I've never seen anything like it. Jill, the subsequent fall of Liz Truss and her Chancellor is fresh, really, in our minds. With hindsight, how did they get it so wrong? I know, you know, Nick just mentioned it was just deeply ideological, but, you know, even with the most ideology, you can see that something's about to go wrong, can't you? What went wrong?
I think they had convinced themselves that any advice saying what they were doing was ill-advised was to be discarded as the naysayers. We've had this long thing, and Nick's attributed all to sort of Brexit. One of the features of Brexit was that most economists said Brexit will damage the UK economy. The believers in Brexit, and Liz Truss, after all, campaigned for Remain on this basis, but the believers in Brexit said, no, you need to have faith. It's not going to be like that. Forget these tedious economic experts. And if you like, the Truss Kwarteng mini budget was putting two fingers up to every Dullesville Treasury official, boring economist who said the markets won't like unfunded tax cuts coming on top of a massive energy support package, that they don't think you can credibly boost growth through cutting taxes like that. They don't think you've got a realistic plan you can get through your party to cut public spending. You haven't set out any plans for that. And we don't believe that you will take on the anti-growth coalition. And just this week in the UK, we've really seen the strength of that anti-growth coalition that's been doing down Rishi Sunak over some of his plans to try and boost house building in the UK and reform the planning system. And so, you know, Liz Truss basically dismissed all advice and almost reveled in dismissing all that advice. And then she basically crashed into the wall of market sentiment that just said, we just don't believe your plans stack up. And we're going to charge the UK a hell of a lot more if it wants to borrow to do this. And that was basically when it all started going horribly wrong. And they were like sort of, you know, in one of those balloon debates where they started chucking bits out of the mini budget. Liz Truss chucked Kwasi Kwarteng out of the basket. And as she went, there was only one thing more to go after Jeremy Hunt, her new chancellor, undid almost all that was standing of that budget. The only thing left to go was Liz Truss herself. And she was pretty summarily ditched. And as in your snip, she said, you know, basically, I'm a pointless prime minister now. I came in to do all this and it's all blown up in my face. And Now we have the sort of, you know, Hunt, Sunak semi-orthodoxy back.
Now, Nick, it felt that there was a national sigh of relief when Rishi Sunak was appointed Prime Minister and Jeremy Hunt became Chancellor. They had to start by repairing the financial damage caused by that Truss mini-budget that hadn't been costed properly and had clearly spooked the markets and had been really noticed by the world. Has calm returned to the government?
To some extent. I mean, it doesn't feel as crazy as it did during that Truss era. But, you know, the interesting thing is that, for instance, Sunak polls much better. I mean, he's much more favored by the public, certainly than Truss was. But also, you notice this uplift in his public approval ratings. But the party's public ratings have not really improved that much.
That's interesting. So just want to pick up this. You're saying he individually is actually more popular than his own party brand.
Correct. He's more popular than his party brand. So people are saying, we're seeing Sunak as kind of the grown-up in the room to some extent, but we're still seeing these massive, and they are absolutely massive, poll leads for Labour. So we're seeing like Labour at 50, sometimes more than 50%, and we're seeing the Tories really languish in the 20s, sometimes the low 20s. So, I mean, you're seeing polls on a kind of, you know, everyday basis. That if they actually came true, I mean, if Labour actually got 50% and the Tories, let's say, polled 21%, I mean, it would be an existential wipeout of the Tories. It'd be worse than 1997. So the interesting thing is, I think people have sort of gone, I guess Sunak's better than what we had before, but we still don't really like the Tories. And it still looks like the Tories are on course for somewhere between a massive loss and a substantial one.
Mm. Jill, there's a tough winter ahead with the cost of living crisis driven by high energy costs and a raft of strikes, train drivers and postal workers, ambulance workers, nurses. All this is adding pressure to the new Prime Minister to show his authority. Do you think he will manage to lead the party to the next general election?
It's quite, at the moment, I think yes, because I think even the Conservatives realise that to have yet another Prime Minister this year would look bad. But, I mean, he's got a lot of tests. It's not at all clear that the government has a way through all this strike action that we're seeing. A bit of a sort of thing with the unions now about just quite how much they're prepared to wreck yet another Christmas, where people were hoping for a more normal Christmas this time round, with rail strikes disrupting travel plans, the health service, the ambulance workers going on strike. So, and the Royal Mail. I took Christmas cards to the post and they said, well, honestly, I wouldn't bother because the backlogs are so bad, they're never going to get there in time. So anyway, I was already posting them 2 weeks earlier than I normally would. So it's not clear the government has a plan to get through this mess. And then there'll be local elections in May. And the problem for Rishi Sunak is that when he became Prime Minister without a contest the second time round, having lost to Liz Truss through the summer, but when they did that, Boris Johnson uttered this slightly threatening and menacing statement that he was not standing this time round, although he could have done because he could have met the nomination threshold, but it wasn't right at this time. But he was sort of still available to win the election in 2024. And so I think if Rishi Sunak has as bad a winter as it looks, the Conservatives are still drifting in the low 20s. Now everybody except Keir Starmer, I think, takes for granted the next government will be a Labour government, just a question of when, which is a real change from a year ago. If it drifts on like that and it looks bad and it looks all pretty hopeless. But maybe Boris Johnson will pop up again. But if he thinks it's a bad cause, the Boris Johnson narrative doesn't fit with losing elections. So I think it would only be if Boris Johnson saw some route to be Prime Minister. I don't think Boris Johnson is going to be that keen on being leader of an opposition for 5 years out of office. So we will have to see. But at the moment, Rishi Sunak looks relatively secure personally, but is facing huge numbers of policy challenges. And there are real questions about the extent to which he can actually get a programme through his government and achieve some of the things he says he wants. He's got sort of threats from all over the party, which has become almost addicted to rebellion.
Addicted to rebellion. That is a difficult political party to manage. Nick, just final word to you. The ghost of Boris looms, I suppose. Rishi Sunak would be watching his back constantly. How do you analyse Boris Johnson's, way that he may behave in the incoming months?
I think I go with Jill, and in the sense that I don't think the election's winnable. I just don't really see how it's winnable for the
Aren't
Tories.
Aren't they all winnable? Can't I don't know. Like, yes, no, their brand is pretty rubbish at the moment, right? But isn't there a pathway? There's a big period of time.
Well, yeah, but I just think that, and also I just think he might actually have some moment of self-reflection and realize that, can he turn it? There's so much pressure on him to turn it all around and then be the guy who leads them back. And then if he fails in that, that's just a fatal blow to his brand as a winner, as someone who wins elections. And so I think that's actually possibly what sort of held him back this time a little bit, or why he dropped out of the race. And I just feel like he's just going to sort of I can imagine almost the exact repeat, where they all line in and they all say, oh, Boris is a guy. And then there's this huge hype and he gets the most possible sort of press out of it for 2-3 days. And then he just stands up and says, I'm sorry, I'm not going to run it this time. I'll leave you to it. I'm going to go off to America and make my millions of pounds, in speaker fees. And so I think that's much more likely than he actually is prime minister again.
It's been so great to talk to both of you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Nick Tyrone is a journalist and author. His latest book, The Patient, is out now. And Jill Rutter is a senior fellow at the Institute for Government. And you're listening to ABCRN Breakfast.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.